Welcome to the very first program of Common Sense and Political Correctness. Is this program going to be nasty towards some people? No. Let me rephrase that. Yes, we are. Hello and welcome to the first episode of Common Sense Political Correctness from PCJ Radio International, a new series of programs that is going to be looking at one topic or two topics per program and completely, as they would say, take the piss out of it or them, as the case may be in the first program. Now, we live in this world that has gotten politically correctness insane. Political correctness is insane, and it has been getting worse, especially over maybe the last 15 years. You have the right side, the righty loonies, as I call them, that are going, oh, it's not fair when the left make fun of us. And then you have the left, which also does basically the same thing. Oh, it's not fair. Oh, I'm gonna cry. When the right makes fun of us. In fact, they're just both two sets of crybabies. And of course, everyone is stuck in the middle. Now, what is interesting, there was a recent poll that was taken in the United States, and this poll is reflective of polls that are done in other countries as well concerning political correctness. They discovered that somewhere around 85% of citizens in the United States feel that political correctness is insane. And the thing is, this is actually from both sides, both liberals. Actually, no, liberals are very different from the left. But from the left and from the right. There is a difference between liberals and conservatives. Now, liberals and conservatives actually, believe it or not, have more things in common than the left and the right do. I mean, it's become so partisan that people these days are really afraid to say anything. But what we are going to do with this program is actually go after some of these people. Let me see. Who would be on our target list to completely destroy and make fun of? Well, there's the, what I like to call them, social justice warriors. Social justice warriors. When I hear that term, it makes me want to vomit. And a lot of other people as well. And then you have... what I call the pseudo-journalist. What is a pseudo-journalist? Well, the pseudo-journalists are those who claim to be journalists, but in fact are not, run some kind of blog about stuff. And actually, it isn't at all. You know, it's not journalism at all. It's just whinging. Now, you may say, of course, that we're whinging on this program, but this program is not making the claim that we are a journalistic program or current affairs program. It isn't. Editorial, perhaps. There's a difference, a very clear difference between an editorial or editorializing a story and reporting on a story. There are two completely different things. Journalists on both sides, either being left or right, do tend to, how would we, well, we'll just say it, do tend to actually kind of keep it very balanced. But then you have the political commentators that, of course, will take a position and will editorialize a story. Very often, social justice journalists, that's a real mouthful to say, don't do that. And what they do is they actually take a position and leave many facts out. And we're going to actually talk about one such case on the program today. It's a little bit confusing, though, because we don't know how to refer to this person because they have a number of aliases. In fact, it was actually somebody that even worked for PCJ a few years ago. But we'll talk about that a little later on in the program. Now, around the world, politicians are also getting up in the world of political correctness. Let's get the elephant out of the room first. Now, the reason I say that, because I suspect that some of you are expecting me to talk about the son of the baboon and a woman. You know who I mean. The president of the United States of America. I'm only laughing because it happens to be Donald Trump. Now, I say the elephant in the room because any program that would be called Common Sense and Political Correctness, well, it is expected at some point to talk about Donald Trump. So let's do that now and get it out of the way, right? And I promise, in future programs, we will not say that person's name. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is a baboon. Oh, sorry. You know what? I really shouldn't say that. I really shouldn't say that because it's an insult towards baboons. I mean, think about it. You can say he's a baby. That's an insult to babies, actually. Do you think a baby is sitting there going, "Oh, I want to be like Donald Trump"? No, they don't. They want to be like somebody who is intelligent, you say, who can speak eloquently. But that man just can't do it. Almost everything he does, I mean, put it this way. He is certainly no idiot. And he is certainly not stupid. That man definitely knows how to play the system. The people who are the most dangerous Trump supporters are not the moronic baboons who live in the countryside. There's a lot of those. But it's the intellectuals who actually support him. They are the dangerous ones. Now, when Donald Trump goes into a small town and does the lock her up and in China, because he never says China. He can't say China. He says in China. And things like, we're going to bring back the coal jobs. And Hillary Clinton. He loves Hillary. I think he loves Hillary Clinton. I think he does, because he was going on about her so much during the presidential campaign when he was running for office, and now continues to do so. Now, when Donald J. Trump goes into these small towns, people may have not thought of this, but there's a very famous musical. The musical is by Meredith Willson. It's called The Music Man. It was a very famous stage play on Broadway, and of course, a very famous film that starred Robert Preston and Shirley Jones. Robert Preston plays a traveling salesman going from town to town, or hick town to hick town, because he never goes to big metropolises such as New York or Chicago or any big cities. He goes to the hick towns. And he's basically a traveling salesman selling a con. And he does it so brilliantly that that's exactly what Donald Trump did. And the funny thing is, these people who voted for him are either too stupid to realize, or things have gotten so bad for them that they'll vote anybody. They would vote a turd. A turd, really. I think they would vote a turd. In this case, they voted for an orange turd. But that is beside the point. No, actually, it is the point. Now, when Hillary Clinton, who I'm not a big fan of, said that, look at the sea of deplorables, right, which became that comment that was in the news cycle for about 12 to 24 hours. Well, they are deplorable. Can people just have the conversation and say, you know what? These people that live in these areas are idiots. That's the Fact of it, they are idiots. Now, in the United States, what is interesting is what should be the most respected office in the United States has become a reality TV show. Don't forget, Donald Trump, now you may not know this if you're not living in the United States, but for many years, Donald Trump hosted a program called The Apprentice. There are different versions of that program produced in other countries. Lord Sugar, who does the one in the United Kingdom, has referred to Donald Trump in a number of unkindly words. But basically, this man, or we assume he's a man, was actually campaigning politically for all the years that he was hosting The Apprentice. And just look at the people that he's being surrounded by. And I'm not talking about Jared Kushner. That's a funny one, isn't he? Or members of his cabinet. I'm talking about the people who go to his office. We have seen the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian and her big bum, and I don't mean her husband, but her big behind in the Oval Office, spewing on about some kind of verbal diarrhea. And then this one.
But you know what I don't like about, it's not that I don't like, what I need Saturday Night Live to improve on, or what I need the liberals to improve on, is if he don't look good, we don't look good. This is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes, the best factories, and we have to make our core be empowered. We have to bring jobs into America, because our best export is entertainment and ideas. But when we make everything in China and not in America, then we're cheating on our country. And we're putting people in positions to have to do illegal things to end up in the cheapest factory ever, the prison system.
I'll tell you what, that was pretty impressive. You know, I hate to say this, Jim. Do you want to say something? What do you do after that?
Oy vey. I mean, that's actually only a little bit of it, but that's when Kanye West was at the White House in the Oval Office and was just spewing the biggest pile of steaming poo towards the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Or you can call it a compliment. Of course, Trump loves compliments. I mean, he does love compliments. If you disagree with him, or you disagree with his people, look what they do. Now, there's all this talk, let's say, about the fake news and the fake media. The problem here is that, no, it's not fake. It's just that you disagree with it. When people fact check things that Donald Trump says, guess what they call it? They call it fake news. I mean, there's a number of examples. For example, one time recently where he said Seoul, South Korea, has a population of 30 million. One thing that Trump loves doing is adding to numbers, right? It was 30 million, he said. No. Now, you can be 1 million off. You can be 500,000 off. You can be 2 million off. That's okay. But you cannot be 10 million off and have somebody take it seriously. Seoul's population, by the way, is around 20 million. But no, he said 30. And it's also how he talks about numbers. Remember the wall? Yes, I'm going to build a great wall. I'm going to build a great wall. The only reason why he wants to build a great wall is probably to keep Melania in without having her run away. Now, that wall, first, right at the beginning, we'll do it very cheaply. We'll do it very cheaply. It will be so inexpensive. I will get the greatest builders, the biggest designers. It will be great. It will be fantastic. Now, first, it started off at 10 million, right at the beginning of the campaign. As time was going on, it was 10, Then it jumped to 20. Then it jumped to 50. Then it jumped to around 100 million. And then it'll jump to around 200 million. And I mean, the cost keeps going up with it. And then he says, Mexico will pay. Well, one of the former Mexican presidents put it very eloquently. Mr. Fox, President Fox. I'm not going to say the words here, but on the online version of the show, you'll be able to hear that. Use a little bit of profanity on it. But he's not president anymore of Mexico, so it's okay, you know. And you are talking to a man who loves using profanity. He told him exactly what he could do. Mexico is not going to pay for the wall. They're not. So the pussy-grabbing orange orangutan is a bragger. We know that. I mean, that's what he did on television for many years, even before he had his own television series. I mean, he was known for that. He was known for being not very respectful to women. Going back to when he was married to Ivana Trump. Now, the thing that amazes me most of all is considering his background and his treatment of women and the amount of affairs that he has. Now, you know what? I really don't care if he has affairs. I honestly don't. I really don't. Because I don't think it's important. It's just not important, you know. That's a private issue, and that's totally fine. But when it's in the media, and then you have the Christians who still support him, the word that comes to mind is hypocrite. Yes, they are the biggest hypocrites in the world. Or I'll use a Trump word. The bigly hypocrites. Bigly hypocrites. You know, so this is, it's funny. It's like, it is a reality TV show. The White House, in its first time in history, has become exactly that, a reality TV show. Any respect that the office had has gone out the window. Now, the other interesting aspect about this is you can have a president in office who maybe you don't like, right? And they always love using the term the worst president ever. Really? Do you really think that George W. Bush was the worst president ever? Do you think Obama was the worst president ever? Bill Clinton? George Bush Sr.? Ronald Reagan? Oh, yeah, by the way, they love to say he is like a new Ronald Reagan. Oh, my God. I could just picture Ronald Reagan turning around in his grave when he hears that kind of thing. If he was to hear it, but he's probably ground mush right by now. I mean, really, he is not a new Ronald Reagan. He is exactly what he is, a baboon. Yes, I know it's insulting to baboons, and I apologize to all the baboons in the world, but he's an idiot. He loves dictators. Love letters between him and the little fat man of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. Ay, 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 ay. North Korea is playing him like a violin. You know, the North Koreans are very smart in this regard, in that they study their opponents very well. Very well indeed. They've read copies of his books. Well, his books that somebody else wrote. But it gives them an insight of who they're dealing with, how to deal with him. They've probably gone back, well, I know they have gone back because this is their style. They've gone back and watched every episode of The Apprentice, studied it, came out with a profile, and said, this is how we deal with him. He is completely and utterly corruptible. He is. Just say great fancy words, or at least words that he can understand. And you know what? Yeah. He is putty in their hand. The same with Putin. The same with Duterte in the Philippines. The Turkish president. The Polish president. and many other right-wing sort of strongman leaders. Trump isn't a strongman. We have to put that out there right away. He's a tiny penis wannabe strongman, a pseudo strongman, like pseudo journalist, who we will talk about in a moment. So if there are Americans listening right now, do go out and vote in the midterms. Just go out and vote. Really. Otherwise, you're just going to be the laughingstock of the world. Well, sorry to say, but you are. Do you really think? And of course, this is not for the people that didn't vote for him. This is the ones that did vote for him. And I know that quite a few listen on shortwave. Do you really think he commands respect? Oy. Now, before we put this program together, we actually managed, believe it or not, to get an interview with Donald Trump. Yes, we got an interview with Donald Trump. He didn't have too much time in between coloring in his coloring book, but we managed to get an interview with him, and we're going to bring it to you right now. Well, joining us on the line now from Washington, D.C., is the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. President Trump, thank you for taking some time out of your very busy schedule to talk to us today. The subject I want to talk about actually is the recent book by Stormy Daniels about allegations that she made towards you concerning your penis. Now, she said that your penis is rather small and funny looking. What's your reaction to that?
Nobody told me about it, but we'll see what happens.
So then how do you feel about somebody rating your performance in bed?
I'm sort of 50% used to that. That's all right. Some are good and some are bad.
So you're used to that and you don't mind at all what people say about your performance in bed?
A lot of them are afraid to come and talk or come and, you know, they are busy. I'm busy. I wish I could have come and...
Okay, if you say so. But let's get back actually to policy for a moment. The wall, this was one of your big campaign promises. You said that the ground was already broken and they were building parts of the wall, but it has been proven that, in fact, all they are doing is fixing parts of the wall that needed to be fixed. What's your response to that?
You know, people have said, as an example, than anybody thought possible, that other presidents were unable to get more and it was heading downward. You do know all of the things I've done and things that I'm doing. You do understand that stuff.
Okay, Mr. President, if you say so again. But let's get back to Stormy Daniels for a moment. She said that you were a terrible lover. Is that how Melania feels?
That is true. Mentioned it quickly, not like, you know, but that's okay. I am a little surprised that she wouldn't have told me.
So Melania is not living in the White House, or if she is, she's probably in another bedroom. What are you trying to say? That she thinks you are a good lover or bad?
But she didn't come to me, she should have come to me. You? She does have access to me, absolutely. She has direct access, but she didn't come to me.
Now, what about you? If you can rate your performance in bed with all these women that you have been with in your lifetime, how would you rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10?
Less than 0. I think we would have been going in the wrong direction.
Less than 0. Okay. I didn't expect to actually hear that as an answer. But Stormy Daniels' book, what do you say overall about the book? I mean, is it accurate? Are there falsehoods? Or is it just a pile of rubbish?
I'm just hearing about it. And I heard, I did hear from Lindsay, but I'm just hearing about it. So we're going to have a very accurate book, and that's too bad. No. So that's, and that's the way a lot of people feel that know what's going on. And you'll see that over the years.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I was speaking there with the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. You're listening, by the way. It is time to do an ID for the program in case you tune in late. Common sense, political correctness. And next, we move on to one of Trump's favorite subject journalists, but in particular, social warrior journalist and a pseudo journalist.
Coming up on the first ever edition of Shortwave America, Jerry Bryant from Full Circle Jesus Music. We'll take a look at Jerry's work, what goes into it, and the significance of Full Circle Jesus Music to both the Christian contemporary music industry and the radio broadcasting practice. What do you get when you look back at where you were and then look at how far you've come? We're going to find out when we speak with Jerry Bryant and learn about the Full Circle Jesus Music program. You'll only hear it on Shortwave America.
And by the way, that isn't a commercial for Shortwave America. This actually, I think, has got to be the biggest con job. And we all fell for it here at PCJ Radio International. We completely fell for this. Who is that? We'll start at the beginning. Dan Hensley, who used to do our propagation report on our media program, Media Network Plus. And all of a sudden, things started to not make sense about this person. And he has a very good way of starting projects, never finishing them, and never going forward, and never being complete. For example, we did an interview about him starting this website called Shortwave America that we just heard that little promo to. And this is what he had to say about it when I asked him, or her, or it.
Right, you can go to www.shortwaveamerica.blogspot.com, and there will be some changes coming to Shortwave America. I'll be bringing you some new shows every week. I'll be linking directly to things like Amateur Radio Newsline, The Rain Report, and some other shows. I'm going to be making some other changes as well. There'll be a post up about it before December.
Mm-hmm.
And around December 1st, I'm going to be doing a reader poll to find out what it is the readers want to see. Hopefully, Shortwave America will be able to expand and do some really nice things in the future. We've been keeping up with a lot of the newer issues that are going on in radio, and we're excited to be able to do whatever we can over here. You know, the readership has just jumped by thousands. I went from having a minuscule, meaningless presence to now coming close to 7,000 readers. So thank you to the readers out there, I look forward to still having you guys around and bringing you new material and expanding Shortwave America and making it bigger and better as time goes on.
Now, those who've been following PCJ Radio International for some time, of course, will recognize that voice. That was Dan Hensley, who did our propagation on Media Network Plus, and also from time to time come on the program with stories, actually. He is based in Chicago, Illinois, in the United States. Now, the interesting thing about this, there was this one period a year before a change, and we'll get to that in a moment, where many of his posts that he was posting on Shortwave America and on another site that he had created started to go in the direction of the loony, I mean, the insane. And we all thought that he was a nice chap. Yeah, we thought he was a nice guy, but then it turns out he isn't a guy at all. It's a woman. Yes, a woman. He did what I like to call the Caitlyn Jenner thing. Became a trans woman. Now, this is, by the way, and I'm going to say it right now, this is nothing. I really have no problem with transgenders, and I think they should have exactly the same rights as everybody else. But this one in particular, I kind of wonder what the motives are behind it. Because very strange indeed. The last few propagation reports that he did, he had already started transitioning and went by the name Amber Delora. Yes, Amber Delora. It sounds like a drag queen's name, doesn't it? And I didn't even know what to say on that one. But anyway, eventually the relationship ended between him and PCJ Radio International for the better, I should say. Yes, for the better. Because during that period, that's when one of our editors started to catch things that he said in a couple of reports that he did for us, inaccuracies. And finding out that this person is actually not a journalist like he claims to be, but in fact, a social warrior pseudo-journalist. Now, I'm not saying that social warrior journalists, there aren't any real ones out there. There are. And some of them are actually very good, and some of them actually do serve a purpose. This Dan Hensley character, or Amber Delora, whoever it is, we don't know. We really don't know because there's a name change. We'll talk about that in a moment. Was just spewing out the biggest amount, excuse me, of verbal diarrhea. Now, the thing is, when we kind of started suspecting here at PCJ that something was up, we did, of course, the Google thing, going to Google search and putting in certain keywords and the name. And we found out that this person has a history, a very checkered history, a very checkered history indeed. Now, I said a few seconds ago that he's going, or she's going by another name. Now it's Danny. That's D-A-N-I, Hensley. Yes, Danny Hensley. And they are an amateur radio operator. Their call sign is K-D-4-A-E-N. That's K-D-4-A-E-N. And we actually managed to speak to someone from the Chicago area who's involved in amateur radio, and they didn't have very nice things to say about this person. Now, Danny Hensley has really slipped their cookies. Now, I don't know what their game is, but their game is quite dangerous. They are a very spooky person. Now, what's interesting, the thing that we did find out recently through one of our listeners, one of PCJ's listeners, they sent us a response that he, she, or it, again, I'm putting it that way because we honestly don't know, because we're finding out there are many aliases that this person is using. Aliases. I always get very suspect of that when people use aliases instead of coming forward and putting their own name to it. Now, this was the funniest thing that I have ever received in my life. One of our listeners contacted me and said there's this person by the name of Danny Hensley. Not recently, actually. Danny Hensley posted this group in this on this Facebook page about this response that he got from the Freedom of Information Act, because he put a request forward on the 9th of October, to find out information on certain stations. And the stations are China Radio International, Voice of Korea, and Radio Havana Cuba. Two of those stations with which I have worked before, not Voice of Korea, even though I have to say, If an offer had ever been made to me, I would have taken it, purely just for the experience. I've been to North Korea a number of times, and I think it would have been interesting to work for the Voice of Korea. Just think it would be. And I have known people that have. And they said, it is interesting, and they pay very well. They pay very well. And I suppose that has to do with the fact that it's very difficult to get foreigners who want to go to North Korea and work for a state company like Voice of Korea. But I have worked for China Radio International for a number of years. And in the 1990s, for 3 years, in fact, was at Radio Havana, Cuba, where I produced and presented the program that went to North America, to the Caribbean, and to Africa and Europe. So on this response that he got from the, and I quote, the National Security Agency, that's the NSA, which is located in Maryland in the United States, he had put together, he wrote them a letter through the Freedom of Information Act to find out information on China Radio International, Voice of Korea, and Radio Havana Cuba, just to recap. And then at the bottom, are you ready for this one? I'm clearing my throat because I know I will laugh again, the same as I did when I first read it. Here goes. PCJ Radio International. Now, I'll read it a little bit, okay? It says, the letter begins, and it's unofficial. National Security Agency stationery. This responds to your Freedom of Information Act, FOIA request of the 9th of October, 2018 for the following. I mentioned China Radio International, Voice of Korea, Radio Havana, Cuba. And then at the bottom one, PCJ Radio International. And it says, listen to this. 105378. All documents, reports, memos, orders, directives, manuals, and other materials held by the NSA in which the NSA performed investigations and intelligence work pertaining to radio station PCJ Radio International in Taiwan via shortwave and whose programming targets the U.S. and U.S. allies between January 1st, 2008, or the 1st of January 2008, and 31st December 2014. And I saw that and I laughed immediately because that's just way, way too funny. Your letter has been agitated for ease for processing. They have been assigned the case numbers identified above. Please refer to these case numbers when contacting us about your request. For purpose of these requests, and based on the information you provided in your letters, you are considered an all other requester. Ooh, he or she or it is an all other requester. There are no accessible fees for this request. Your requests have been processed under the provisions of the FOIA. Now, the FOIA, of course, is the Freedom of Information Act. I will continue, okay? NSA collects and provides intelligence derived from foreign communications to policymakers, military commanders, and law enforcement officials. We do not help these individuals protect the security of the United States, its allies, and their citizens from threats such as terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, foreign espionage, international organized crime, and other hostile activities. What we are authorized to do and how we do it is described in Executive Order 12333. Information about how NSA conducts signal intelligence activities is available on the websites of the NSA and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. We have determined that the fact of the existence or non-existence of materials you requested is a current or properly classified matter in accordance of the Executive Order 13526, as set forth in subparagraph C of Section 1.4. Thus, your requests are denied percent to the first exemption of FOIA, which provides the FOIA does not apply to matters that are significantly authorized under criteria established by the executive order to be kept secret in the interest of national defense or foreign relations and are in fact properly classified percent to such executive order. In addition, this agency is authorized by various statutes to protect certain information concerning its activities. The third exemption of the FOIA provides for the withholding of information specifically protected from disclosure by statute. Thus, your requests are also denied because the fact of the existence or non-existence of the information is exempt from disclosure. Percent. Two, the third exemption. The specific... See, I'm getting sillier as I'm reading it, okay? The specific statutes applicable in these cases are titled 18 U.S. Code 798. Oh, Title 50 U.S. Code 3024I and Section 6 Public Law 86-36-50 U.S. Code 3605. You may appeal this decision. If you decide to appeal, you should do so in a manner outlined below. NSLA will endeavor a response within 20 working days of receiving any appeal, absent any unusual circumstances. The appeal must be sent by U.S. postal mail, fax or electronic delivery, that's email to stupid people, and address to, and of course then there is the address. Oh, that gave us such a laugh this week. Now, let's talk about this Dan Hensley, okay? It was Dan Hensley. He became she, Amber Delora. And then, actually, after he was dismissed, we really didn't pay any attention to him at all. In fact, we never even thought about him until a few of our listeners, exactly 12 listeners, sent us private messages on Facebook saying, by the way, what's this about? And then I just read the letter, of course, the response that he got from the NSA through the Freedom of Information Act to find out information about China Radio International, Voice of Korea, Radio Havana, Cuba, and of course, PCJ Radio. Three stations of which in the four I've worked at. And I've been to North Korea a number of times. Funny that, isn't it? Coincidental? Who knows? But anyway, after the Amber Delora fiasco, when I saw that, I went, okay, well, this is funny. So I put the name Amber Delora, of course, in Google. I'm just really curious, right? And did some tracking and found out, well, actually, it's no longer Amber Delora, but it is now Dan Hensley or Danny Hensley. Oh, it's incredibly funny. And I remember, well, actually, I think when we dismissed him, there was some post that we said, oh, he is dismissed from PCJ Radio International. He's no longer affiliated with us, because we'd sort of heard whispers from certain people that he was still using us by name for who knows what, but we just didn't care anymore. Anyway, he sent these letters threatening us, and we said, okay, go ahead, threaten away. Now, I have questions for Danny Hensley, if they are listening. Okay? First, last year, it seems that you left Twitter. Would you care to explain why you left Twitter? We know why. It had to do with a Twitter storm that developed over United Airlines. We know all the details, but we would love to hear your response. Really, love to hear your response. Next question for you. Could you please fill us in on what projects you began that you kind of pushed aside and never, well, followed up with them? I'm gonna cough. Watch this. Shortwave America, just one example. These are serious questions. Serious questions. Could you please let us know how the transitioning has come along and why you use so many aliases. Dan Hensley, if that in fact is your real name, because now it's up for suspicion. Danny Hensley or Amber Delora? Which one has the man bits? Huh? We don't know. I would say man up, but in your case, I don't know. And by the way, that isn't a dig at transgender people. I have no problem whatsoever with transgender people. I will support transgender people to get the exact same rights as everybody else. But this person, are they using this as some sort of way to get something? It's just very suspicious. Because we do know for a fact that Danny Hensley, or Amber Delora, or Doggy and Booby, who knows, love using pseudonyms and loves doing anonymous stuff, supports groups like Anonymous, which should say it all. So I think we should actually have an award. Yes, an award for the pseudo-journalist of the world. Well, actually one of many, but we're going to be kick off this award ceremony for pseudo-journalist of 2018. Dan! Danny! Hensley or Amber Delora. We don't know. Yes, we are giving you this award as the pseudo-journalist of 2018. Somebody who's very good at fake identities. Somebody who's very good at not completing things. The award is yours. Oh my. Now, the funny thing, let's talk about some of the other things you've never completed. Photography. Well, on your other website, you claim to be a photographer. Professional news and developments. What professional news and developments? But you do have one. Yes. Called Chicago One News. I love saying it, don't you? Chicago One News. Yes, you have a Chicago One News site, which is peculiar. It is just peculiar to say the least. In the interview clip that we ran of you talking about Shortwave America, you claimed that there were thousands of readers. In fact, you even gave a number, 7,000 readers. Really? Because when we checked the history of that page that you'd started and around that time, 7,000, you say? It sounds like you're doing a Donald Trump. The number was more like 50, around 50. And then it went up to 100. And then 1,000. And then 7,000 until we reached the peak. No, it was nowhere near 7,000. The same will go for your Chicago News 1. Or Chicago One News website. Thousands of readers. Blow it out your... The thing is, I don't know, because we don't know if you're a man or woman yet. We don't know if you finished the transitioning. So I can't say blow it out of anything if you don't have it. Now, pseudo-journalists are spooky people. They love conspiracies. I always look at the... social warrior journalists. Because there's both on either side. They have them on the right and they have them on the left. And they're basically the same. I mean, okay, Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a whole different kettle of fish. But there are lefties that are just like him. The Young Turks, for example. I mean, have you watched them? Have you listened to what this guy says? He is very uneducated. So is the whole team. The reason why Dave Rubin left, who has a podcast and a web series, which is definitely more intelligent than anything the Young Turks did. Dan Hensley, or Danny Hensley, or Amber DeLora? We just don't know. Or the Black Knight of Calcutta with Caitlyn Jenner bits falling all over the place. Yes, we're sung up on the bits because I just like saying the word bits. You're pseudo-journalist number one for 2018, and we give you that award. You accept it with honor, and you can take the award and do whatever you want with it. Now, because this is an award section of the program, we are going to dedicate a song for you. Yes, a song, Dan, or Danny, or Amber. Do you want to know what the song is? You will love it. Trust me, you will love it. You will love it so much that, oh, I'm telling you, your juices will be flowing all over the place. We're going to dedicate this to you, Danny Hensley, or ham sign KD4AEN, a song by Neil Innes. Yes, Neil Innes and the Idiot Song going out to our pseudo-journalist of 2018, Danny Hensley. Dan Hensley or Amber DeLora, all three. So, even if you didn't participate, Amber, guess what? You get a trophy. Okay, now, this, of course, was the first edition of Common Sense Political Correctness. And we are working on a second episode, and that episode will be on a subject, well, that is dear to the hearts of many, many people, dear hearts and gentle people. Yes, it is on millennials. Yes, you know millennials, the group of people you cannot criticize, can't talk against. They need safe spaces, beanbags. Don't ask them to do anything. Oh, that's so difficult and complicated. Unless they're men wearing men buns and women wearing yoga pants. So, the next edition will be on millennials. Now, if there is a topic that you would like us to touch base on, you can get in touch with us. Yes, you can follow us on Twitter, Follow me on Twitter, Keith Perron, KEITHPERRON, or on Facebook. Just add me as a friend, and we'll get the discussion going about topics that we should discuss here on the program. Today, actually, I have to say, I was okay. It wasn't the best show in the world. Probably not. But we did talk about the elephant in the room. You know who I mean, Mr. President. And pseudo-journalism, or pseudo-journalist, who has various aliases, who can never complete anything they've done, who used to work here at PCJ Radio International, who was sacked. And we know why they were sacked, don't we, Dan? Or Danny? Or Amber? I'm lost. I don't know. I'm still confused about that one. Anyway, if you want to, you can also send us email, pcjmedia@gmail.com. Now, there is another version of this program, which is going to be made available on YouTube, which is going to be slightly different in that we will be able to uncensor ourselves even more. Again, because this is being broadcast, we do have to watch with some of the language. But the one that goes on YouTube, no, we don't. So, the next program is on millennials. We hope you tune in for that one. Now, on behalf of everyone that helped research today's program, edit today's program, spend how many hours are you going to spend? 3 hours, our technician says, in the editing, making all my gibberish sound somewhat comprehensible. If you could make, by the way, I'm speaking to our technician right now, if you could make me sound understandable, you have a job in Washington, D.C. By the way, if you think we're just focused on the U.S., no, because our millennial program will also be talking about the beautiful and wonderful British Prime Minister Theresa May and Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg and Nigel Farage. Now, to play us out today, I thought we will dedicate the last couple of minutes to the program to millennials. Oh, because they're so poor. Not a bad idea, don't you think? Well, it's a song. It is a song, actually. Yes, it is a song called You've Got to Love Millennials. You've Got to Love Millennials by Misha Tyler. So until next time, friends, be good to yourselves, be good to everybody else there, and tell all those with no common sense and political correctness to go and fill in the blank yourself. Bye-bye. Ding, ticka-ding, ticka-ding, ding, ding, ding.
There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. She posts lots of selfies on her Instagram with a quote that's inspirational. Hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. 27 years old, trying to make it on their own. Maybe stop by leaving your parents' home, but maybe we're just wrong. Criticism isn't easy for their ears. They feel like they know most everything. See, they grew up with undeserved confidence, cause they got trophies just for participating. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. In a couple of years, we will have to pass the torch.
no.
M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. Pray for millennials.